I don't know what's going on here. Probably not any batteries in the tape recorder either. Okay, we're having a workshop here on how to give a workshop, and here's my handout. Now, let's see. Well, I told them how many to make. They didn't make enough. Tell you what, let's just kind of do one per table here. Let's see here. Let's see. No, that's not it. I didn't want some more thing here. Those are already filled in. Well, let's see. Okay, no, that's not it. Well, here we go. Okay. Now, is that still going? Good. There we go. Okay. Well, now, that handout you've got there, don't pay too much attention to it because we're not going to follow it exactly. I made it up a couple of workshops ago and I just didn't have enough time to change it. I'm sorry, I don't think this, but I've got a copy of it up here so you can read that up there. Now, I've got us a question I'd just like to get started because you're supposed to get these things started with a little discussion and stuff. So what is the best way? Now, would everybody fix so I can see their name tag? So I might want to, all right. Thank you, Rick. What is the best way to give a workshop?
Organized.
Pardon? Organized? Now, where'd you get a lame brain answer like that? I mean, I've heard some stupid answers in my life, but that probably takes the cake. If you can't say anything better than that, why don't you just, be quiet? In fact, maybe you'd like to leave. Let me just write that down, though. Oh, you know what? Doesn't work. Would you mind going to see if you can find some pens for me? Boy. And I was told it would all be set up. In fact, I had a little note that... Okay, while he's coming back with the pens, I'll try to remember what you said, even though it wasn't quite worth remembering. What are the three ways to get the audience involved?
Ask them to go get something?
Well, yeah, that's a kind of a lame brain answer, too, but I guess that'll do. Thank you very much. Would you ask him to sit down, please? Well, actually, I do have one handout. If you'd come up here, and you know what, I hate to say this, but if you'd be on time, you could have gotten this when it was time.
Or if you'd get this thing working so we could see it, that'd be nice too.
Just boy, I tell you what, no respect for the elders. That's I don't get no respect. Okay, the three ways. There's three ways. What's the other? I got one way. What's the other two ways? The three ways to get involvement from the audience here.
Tell a joke.
Tell a joke. Well, would you like to tell one? No, see, you really ought not tell jokes because jokes aren't true. And we believe in truth. It's the Bible and truth and everything. And so it's just like novels. You ought not ever read a novel because reading a novel is just flat out wrong. And you ought to know that by now. And you're a pastor. I happen to know that. And you can lead people astray by reading these things that are actually not true. You focus just on what's the truth, and that's in the Bible. And so telling a joke would be that. And besides that, you might just tell a joke, and it'd be some kind of relating to people's weakness somewhere. And you might tell a joke, and somebody there's got that problem in their family, and they just feel real bad and go home and just feel real bad. So the main thing you don't want to do is don't make anybody feel bad. Now, can you think you can get that through your thick head? Well, there are three ways to get things involved, and I know what they are. And so, and if you want to do things right, do it my way. So I'll tell you what those are in just a few minutes. Well, all right, let's see. I think we've probably gone far enough with the charade here. So what are some things wrong? What are some things wrong that I did? Okay, one, I was late. Number two, I hurt somebody's feelings. Pardon? Unprepared. Unorganized. Why? Because I couldn't find all these labels up here and envelopes and pieces of paper and got a kind of a good mess going up here. Doug? Pardon? Not enough handouts.
I think my handout was dropped in the toilet. It's all wrinkly.
Okay, a messy handout. Okay, the visual aid was poor. Yeah, too small. Personal appearance. So you didn't like my personal appearance. Now you hurt my feeling. Hurt my feelings. Okay, anything else?
You were blaming others for your lack of organization.
Okay, blaming others.
You dogged the management on a number of copies.
Blaming others. Critical of the management. We happen to have the management in here, so... critical of the management. Okay, what else?
Dogmatic.
Yeah, these are called closed questions. They just got one answer or one specific defined answer. It could have been, I said, like, what are the three ways? I said a the real loud so you get the hint there, right? And there aren't just the three ways. What are some ways in which we can get, right? Anything else that you can think of? That probably is about enough. Thanks for participating. I want to pass out the authentic handout now. So if I get a couple of volunteers, Larry. I got 50. And Doug, would you stick some over there, and I'll just take one to make sure.
But you used an excellent illustration on what not to do.
Thank you. Yes, I had a skit to start right off with my... What better way to start a workshop than with a skit, and one in which everybody can kind of, you know, get in the flow and the roll there. Great. Thanks for the contributions. So today, we're going to have a workshop. A workshop on workshops. Can you see that all right? Thanks. You're not going to need to see that because basically what I've got up here is pretty much the same thing as on your handout, except that occasionally you may go to sleep or be dreaming about your sweetheart or something and you get lost and you don't want to be embarrassed. So look up here and you'll see where we are in the notes and you can catch up with us. So we're going to do a workshop on workshops today. Would somebody notice the time? And after 30 minutes, I guess it is on this, remind me to turn the tape over. Or if you hear that click, Doug, could I ask you to do that? I'm sorry we can't reach it to you. And so we'll make sure and get the other side taped. That'll be great. Okay. I want you to, looking at the notes on the top there, I want you to take notes on the following for 5 minutes. And it's think of a workshop you particularly liked. It was effective, challenging, and worthwhile. What did you like about it? And then think of a workshop you didn't enjoy. It was not one of your favorites. What did you not like about it? So would you just take a couple of minutes and do that? And then we're going to get in groups of three and discuss that. So we got three here. Let's make it exactly three unless we can't not do it. So we'll have a way to discuss this together. So make notes, discuss, and we've got 5 minutes all together to do the exercise, and I'll let you know when you've got a minute left on the exercise.
Are you referring to workshops we've been to this weekend or just workshops in general?
No, preferably a workshop that's not here this weekend. Because the workshop leader may be here, and it could be one that you've had this weekend, but I'm thinking workshops in general, and not just a Christian workshop, but it could be something at work or any kind of presentation where you went and you can give us some ideas on something that you, one that you liked, why did you like it, one you didn't like, what did you not like about it, or why didn't you like it? Okay, 5 minutes.
All work towards that. All made me have that same feeling, which is real important in keeping me engaged and keeping me here emotionally.
What are you laughing about? Because I didn't model it after I asked for his comment, right? I'm looking at one of the most terrible things is you ask someone a question, and as soon as they start talking, you look at your watch. Now, when's the best time to look at your watch? When somebody else is talking. Because it's hard to look at your watch while you're talking. You're talking, that's hard. So the best time to look at your watch to see how the time is going is when they're talking. But that makes him feel how? I got to hurry up here. Or I'm not saying anything very good. That's why he's looking at his watch saying, how am I talking so long? There's one other thing I did. I don't think you mentioned it.
Okay.
When you got finished with your comment.
You commented, you thanked me for my comment.
Yes.
But you didn't hear me when I said it the second time because you weren't paying attention because you're demonstrating not paying attention.
Yes. Oh, you did say that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, really, I was trying to connect the tape recorder because I realized I forgot to turn it on. If I do that again, Doug, would you tell me, turn the tape recorder on. And also, I called your name.
Okay.
The sweetest sound to anybody is their name. And if we were going to be here more than this length of time, I'd make sure every one of you had a name plaque up in front of you so I could see your name. And I call your name frequently. Yes, and tell me your name, please.
Dale.
Your name? My brother was named Dale.
Okay.
Good to know you, Dale.
A while ago, I
held
my hand.
Yes.
For a second.
Ah.
You said, you've already said something and you let this gentleman in front of me go.
That's true.
I very seldom make a lot of comments, but I've been to workshops before where just a few people, they do all the talk and everybody else just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like you're really encouraging everybody to get involved.
I am trying to work around, and I didn't know about you, Dale, and I risk offending you. If that's the only two times in your life you would ever put up your hand, you know. But I do tend to look around and try to keep track of who's talked, and if somebody has not talked, be sure to call on them. And you know, sometimes it'll be this whole half of the room. So after just a little while, you can say, okay, let's hear from the south half here. You know, or I don't know which way is which here, the north half or the east half, and kind of move it over here, and that gives everybody the idea over here, we need to say something too. That's an astute observation. Appreciate that. Thank you for putting that in, Dale. All right, I think we're about ready to move off this because this has been a very valuable exercise. You've got some others. And by the way, if you have some others that we have not recorded up here, I would like to have them because I accumulate these things and I get to give this exercise from time to time or this workshop. So please, if you don't mind, rip it off on another piece of paper or something that you had and I'll be able to pass that on and make use of it to help others in the same way that we're working here. Okay, the next exercise is I think we just ought to see, we've seen that some workshops can be good and some are not so good, but I would like to brainstorm for a while on the value of this workshop to the hearers. So if everybody from, let's say, right up through here, over this way, will work on filling in this block right here called the value of the workshop to the hearers. In other words, what is the value of a workshop to those who are going to hear it. Okay, and from here over, so Mark right up through to Gil and over here, if you guys will think and brainstorm on the value of the workshop to the presenter, get in groups of four and brainstorm together. Don't write and then talk. Get in your groups of four. This is not three, so we got a new grouping here. Groups of four, and do your work together and then record it. You've got 5 minutes for this exercise. 5 minutes. And then our preparation, the presentation, and finally, the post-workshop follow-up. So if you'll look there on page one, you see the principles. It says that Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines a workshop as a seminar emphasizing free discussion, exchange of ideas, and practical methods, skills, and principles that is given mainly for adults already employed in the field. Right now we're going to be talking about the what and why of a workshop. Notice that it is practical methods. I went to a workshop one time on the sovereignty of God, and I thought, now this is going to be a 90-minute lecture, because how can you make the sovereignty of God practical? But it was given by a very skilled workshop leader, and it was thoroughly practical, because after every point, he would have us do little exercises in groups or individually, thinking through and discussing out loud applications of the sovereignty of God to situations we are all involved with or aware of. It was thoroughly practical to something that sounded impractical. Now, obviously, if you're giving a workshop on evangelism, you can make it very practical. You can break down and go through the gospel with the person next to you. Not a bad idea. In a workshop, I was in one time where he gave us a few minutes on steps to peace with God and said, okay, now let's break down and share the gospel with two by two, share the gospel with that person, and then turn around and do it the other way. In that room was a lost person. And they came to Christ during the presentation. They didn't realize it. They'd never heard the gospel. And they just went in there on sharing your faith. They say, oh, I've got some faith. I'd like to give it to somebody. And they sat there and they heard that and say, you know, I've never done that. So they came to Christ in a workshop on how to share your faith. Now, if the leader had said, I've got so much great stuff to say, I'm just going to stand up there and pump information out for 90 minutes, that person might, well, depends on if you're a Calvinist or not. But you get the point? So make it practical. It's something that will save them well. Is giving a workshop biblical? I wondered about that. What references or stories can you recall that remind you of a workshop from the Bible? Can you think of a workshop in the Bible?
Sending out of the 12? Is that?
I don't know.
Sending out of the 12? That's
okay.
Prior to feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000, Jesus ministered to them on the side of the hill.
Yes, he did.
3 years they followed him around. He showed them, and they did it.
Yeah, he was continually showing those people. In fact, if you look, and we'll just look at it up here. If you look at Matthew 9:35 and 36, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. I'm sorry, I'm kind of in the way of that for you guys. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So in verse 35 and 36, he's modeling it in front of them. And then in verse 37 and 38, he's teaching them. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And then in 10, 1 and 5 and onwards, it's practice, practice, and practice. So this is a pretty good outline for a workshop. You model it, you teach it, and then you get the people to practice, practice, practice. So they were involved. So in in chapter 10, verse 1, it says he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles, and they gave it. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, and then it gives all the instructions. So there's a pretty good example of a workshop from the life of Jesus, teaching them and then getting them directly involved. Now, in your... We're not quite ready to start with number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 yet. I've got one other thing I want to show you here. In your church, and in your ministry and in your activities, there will be four essential elements: preaching, teaching, growth, and training. A workshop fits on number four, the training. So you may say, well, you know, our preacher doesn't ever say anything very practical. Well, that's not what he's supposed to be doing there. I mean, it should have essential practicality down the line. But in a training experience like we're in, it should be very highly practical. So what we're doing today fits in right here under training. Now let's look at the items you have there under page, still on page one. Workshops are useful. See where that starts? Mike, would you read number one, and then we'll get a volunteer to read. We'll read all these out loud.
Make a page in your diary to begin gathering thoughts.
No, wrong page. Back on page one. Sorry.
Okay. Page one, number one. Workshops are useful only as they change attitudes. They must have motivation as well as content. Motivate and educate.
Right. I was in a training program one time, and Stephen Olford was our speaker. And he was teaching us how to preach, although none of us were really preachers, but he wanted us to know how. And he said, a sermon should do two things, motivate and educate. Motivate and educate. Motivate and educate. And he just kept saying that over and over, motivate and educate. And then he got us all saying it together. Motivate and educate. 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 If you want them to bleed, you got to hemorrhage. Yeah. I'm trying to get you guys to say something, and I'm going crazy up here. Right. And, you know, we never forgot that. There's a chance you may not ever forget that. Two opportunities. Motivate and educate. Okay, the second one. Doug, would you read that?
Workshops are people-centered. They must be personal, informal, and conductive to interpersonal involvement.
Yes, personal, informal, conducive to interpersonal involvement. Okay, someone in the back. Mac, would you read number three for us?
Workshops are suited to work with the individual and the value of his contribution. Never make a respondent feel guilty for himself.
Right. Yes. We need to learn from each other. That's the principle. Now, Dale, you're a lawyer, right? But, Dale, you and I together know more about law than you know by yourself. Would you say that's true? Well, do you know everything there is to know about law? All right. Is there a chance that I know something about law that you don't know? It's slim, but it's possible. So you and I together know more about law than you know all by yourself. All right? That's the learn from each other principle. And that's true. The teachable person is the one who can learn from the least other person in the church. So that's the principle here that we learn in a workshop, is to learn from each other. Number four. Doug, how about you?
Workshops must aim at the crucial areas, current problems in the convert's life.
Yeah. Not something that they're not concerned about, but something that's very relevant to them. There was a song that I loved to hear. It was called Don't Go Around Answering Questions That Nobody Is Asking. When I was in the Army, I was a mine warfare and demolitions instructor, and we would take the lieutenants out right after lunch, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which was, sleepy hour, and we would give them an hour talk on using a blasting cap. Then, and of course, they were just passing asleep all over the place. Then we would take them for a little break out to the firing line, put a blasting cap underneath a steel helmet, and go back up the designated distance and fire that blasting cap, and the steel helmet would go way up there. I don't know how high, but almost out of sight. Then we'd take them back in the classroom and say, now, in the next hour, all of you are going to hook up a blasting cap to wires. And if you do it wrongly, that could be your head or your hand going up that high. And guess what? They're all and taking notes and listening. So if it's relevant to their upcoming situation, I dare say if any of you have been asked to do a workshop within the next month, you're paying better attention than if you're thinking, well, I might need this someday, but who knows what. So current problems. And think that through so that you can try your best to make it relevant to their current problems. And then the last one is it would provide a setting for effective learning through individual experience. Individual experience. Here's a hierarchy of learning. This is not in your notes, but let me just show it to you. From verbal symbols being the least effective way of learning, visual symbols all the way up to direct experiences is the most effective way of learning. So this is kind of the hierarchy of effectiveness of learning. So if you can get them directly involved, the learning experience will be much more valuable. Let me also compare here the difference between a seminar and a lecture. This is not very scientific, but to me, a lecture, of course, would be 100% from the speaker. He would be doing all the talking. In a lecture with interaction, the speaker would do 90% of the talking. In a seminar, the speaker would do perhaps 75%. In a workshop, the speaker would do about 50 to 65%, and the people would be doing a lot of the talking. And if you're going into an out-and-out action where they're doing all the work, then the speaker would do very little and launch them, and they would do all the rest of the work. So the idea here is to make sure that when you are planning your time, there's plenty of time for you not to be doing all the talking. All right. Let's look now at page 2. We want to talk about the preparation of obviously takes time. It takes time to adequately prepare. It takes effort to communicate well. Most workshop leaders do not do a satisfactory job of preparation. Preparation, as Jean Ware taught me years ago, is a way of serving and loving your audience, not just of making you look good. I heard a pastor who said he spends 1 hour in preparation for each 1 minute in the pulpit. Now, that's a lot of time. I don't know if that's typical for all. But the main preparation is that it's already taken place in your own life. The preparation you do is how to get it out of your life and into the life of those that are in your audience. So let's talk about that. The first thing is the objective. Make sure you know exactly what you want to cover. So what I want us to do, unnumbered page. Essentially, I want you to do is complete section 3 of the message workshop facts form. And then share this with the person sitting next to you and get some feedback. And feedback that you'd ask is, does this grab your attention? Does it sound like something you might want to attend? Am I biting off more than I can chew? Is this important and significant? Now, the objective that you're writing would not be very big. This is my objective for our workshop right here. Let me just read it to you so you get an idea of a workshop objective. To show the men a recipe for preparing a workshop, to give them confidence they can do a good job, to get them started on their preparation, and to give them many ideas that they might possibly use someday. Okay, let's start on that, and we'll have 10 minutes to work this exercise of writing an objective for a workshop. Now, if you don't have one in mind, just make it on prayer or evangelism. Some workshop that you might want to give.
Jim, I'm not sure what I understand where we're supposed to write the objective at on this page.
You will not write the objective here, but this will be the thinking process that you'll go through to think about it.
I see.
This form, page 6, is what I use every time I get called upon to do something. And so I've given you the whole form. So you're looking there, my topic, an alternate title, maybe the primary scripture passage. The organizers won't necessarily know that. If I had just 20 seconds to say, what would I say it? And your objective would be just about what you would put in there. All right, and then write an objective that you would like to accomplish in a workshop. I'll leave the assignment up here so that you can see it. Minuscule apparition.
Make it smaller.
Oh, yeah. What's the question?
What is that, if you could translate it in ordinary English?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Okay, how about this one? Members of an avian species of identical plumage congregate. Flock together, okay. Precipitately parted lactate fluid. Okay. Defense in ignited carbonaceous material. Migration. How about that? edifices would be advised to don't throw rocks. That's right. Okay, good job. Now, let's look at the preparation sequence. Here on page two, begin with prayer. I can't think what I was thinking about all the way there. 2 minutes before I get there, I'm praying. A poor pencil is better than the best memory. So collect and write down your ideas. Bible study of all the scriptures on the topic. If time permits, every bit of you know, that kept me from just going to my pet favorite things and talking about those. Someone said the part of the Bible you should pay most attention to workshop, do an exhaustive study yourself. Don't just go grab a book off the shelf. Go straight to the Bible and try to look and deal with every verse you can think of that has to do with your particular subject. Arian, denominational, etc. view of the subject. So excited about the spirit of faith. Try to think of a single passage or verse which most thoroughly addresses the topic and try, if possible, to build your presentation around that topic. For example, if you're going to give a workshop on evangelism, 1 Peter 3:15 will give you about 6 points of evangelism all from just one verse. I don't think there's anything you'd like to cover on evangelism you can't cover from a portion of 1 Peter 3:15 as a springboard. Then people walk out of there, they've got a very significant grasp of that one verse, and you don't have to use 7,500 verses. If you want to give them a syllabus later with lots of other cross-references to that, principles. They're simply not basic ways. Try to put down and the list. And again, to give how you can creatively expose the folks to these skills and get them started applying it. And there's a little outline of training you may want to apply it to your workshop. You can see it there for yourself on the bottom of page 2 and the top of 3. With pass it on. As a be able to use Knowlton.
You wrote like two people.
dealt with it, and then have them implement speaking to that principality in their life, and then after speaking to the principality, bringing in what the word says, pouring the word into that place.
Great. Terrific. I give a workshop on when I bring with me to current man.
Of a bunch of dumb people who live inside of a city with four walls that's totally self-sufficient, and compare that to how we're a bunch of dumb people who live in a world that's only 70 years square, and we spend most of our time focusing on things that are inside of this four walls. And I could do a little skit of interviewing the dumb people who live in the city. And they would say dumb things like, well, I don't think there's anything on the outside of the walls.
Yeah.
Or I really don't have time to, I'm really too busy right now.
The book, you said, was written in 49, all in Athens and did it in your details. But I got script and in the it was Thessalonians, so they're sitting in the somebody comes in and brings them back coffee, they sit there and reminisce and praise it up and but finally with an text on got somebody named for somebody his name get it out talk that kid five, 5, 20, 35. An exercise every 10 or 15. Okay. Especially with set, be able to use anything. Where to look at me, control this by turning. appreciation, but see. Idea to get a few people to evaluate the scene. In fact, if you go to three people and say, I'm thinking you and four others to evaluate this, much higher give. So make sure you. With you over the telephone about a possible practical exercise you do, or to introduce the topic, or any other part of it.